everybody out this morning. Hope everybody had a decent week. I know that some had a challenging week and a trying week, and sometimes we have weeks like that. So it's good to see you this morning on this cold Sunday morning. It's supposed to get up to 55 today, and I think 65 tomorrow. So it's going to be warm later today and tomorrow. But welcome to Tabernacle Auditorium class. We appreciate you being here. We got a lot to pray for this morning. Pray for our services, 11 o'clock worship. Our pastor will be preaching for us last Sunday. John Reynolds, I got to hear him. I was with Sandy on that Sunday, but we got to hear him at the house there. He was just a blessing. He's going full-time ministry, and he's in his 80s, and he just keeps it going, and he's just wonderful. So he was a blessing to our people. Pray for our pastor today. Pray for all the Sunday school teachers that God will use us in a mighty way. All right, now let's take our bulletins. We're just going to cover just a few announcements this morning. I do want to thank James Sampson for filling in for me last week. I got to hear him, and his Sunday school message was a blessing also. Okay, in your bulletins, we'll try just to cover a few of these. The prayer chain captains are Ray and Sally Sanders this week, or you could really call any of the captains, but keep in mind about the prayer chain and how it really comes in good when people need prayer. And the announcements, February the 28th, church family business. The 29th is feeding the sheriff's department. They did that a while back. That's always a blessing. Now, tonight it's saying missionary Summer Scroggs going to Botswana, Africa. So they'll be here tonight. And then in March, we've got a lot of things happening. March the 2nd, Easter outreach. March the 9th, Maranatha Baptist Temple Youth Rally. Don't forget that. And then March the 10th, we go back to my favorite time. I don't like this time zone we're in, but I like the one that we're going to be going into. So don't forget that. And then March the 12th, we're hosting the Tabernacles, hosting the Pastor's Fellowship. Don't forget that. And then Israel, I'm going to let you read that, Youth Rally. Live it out. The greatest single cause of atheism in the world today is Christians who acknowledge Jesus with their lips, walk out the door, and deny him by their lifestyle. This is what an unbelieving world simply finds unbelievable. And that's a sad picture. All righty, we're going to have some prayer requests this morning. And I do want you to remember my niece. This is my twin brother's daughter. Mentioned her last time we was up here, Stephanie Stevens, if you'll remember that name. They live in Bristol. She has got to go to Cleveland Clinic, where the heart center is. They leave tomorrow. She's got to have a heart catheterization. I believe it's on Wednesday, and then she's having this major serious surgery on Friday, March the 1st. She has what they call the painus of the aorta, heart of the heart, and it's a very rare disease. Around her aorta, there is a scar tissue. Very rare. Nobody in the Tri-City area has ever done this surgery, so they were very thankful they could get into Cleveland Clinic. So we just need to pray for them that this surgery is going to last 8 to 10 hours. It's a very, very serious surgery. Please pray for her and pray for Sandy. She's had a rough week this past week. Pray for her shingles and her stomach, that some of these doctors will find out what's going on. Pray for her. Thank you, Brother Buck. Appreciate you. All righty. Do we have some more prayer requests this morning? Yes, Miss Phyllis. Okay. So they haven't got that lung transplant set yet as far as... Okay, gotcha. Okay, Brother James. All right. Pray for James's son. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request? I did not. Oh, okay. Thank you for that. Tina Robinette's in Indian Path with a UTI, so remember her. I can imagine what she's going to, because Sandy's had several of these, and they're awful, awful pain. So pray for Tina Robinette this morning. God will touch her. All right. Anybody else have a prayer request? Yeah, we got the chance to talk to Richard yesterday, and his surgery went so well, and his recovery's doing good so far, so pray for Richard. His son's in from Marion, so that's good. All right, anybody else have a prayer request? Remember Buck's granddaughter, Kayla? Kayla. How you pronounce it?
Callie.
I cannot remember that name, Callie. I'm going to put that in here, Callie. That's right. Pray for her. Lord, to bring her back. Pray for Candy and Charity, our two daughters. The Lord, to bring them back. Don't forget Ron and Joan. They'd love to be here, but Ron's been sick. Ray and Sally. Ray needs your strength. Needs God's strength to take care of Sally. Pray for her. Of course, Robert's done been mentioned. Hubert and Margie. We'd love for them to be here. And Ella Hodges with her migraines. I'm not sure how she's doing, but she has had terrible migraines. Pray for her. Joe Robinette's doing good. Pray for him. Larry and Alice have been out a few Sundays. Alice has got some health problems. Don't forget to pray for her. And a lot to pray for this morning. Don't forget to pray for Carol Crawford. I'm not sure if she's here this morning, but she had a fall last week. She is here. Okay, so she's doing better. So pray for Carol. I'm glad she's here today. All right. A lot to pray for this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer if we could. Father, we love you and thank you for another opportunity to be here at Tabernacle. Father, we have so many prayer needs and so many needs, but Father, you know each one and you're going to take care of each one according to your own timing. And Father, we praise you for the power of prayer. Thank you for the opportunity just to be here at Tabernacle Baptist Church in the Sunday school hour. We lift up all the teachers to you, that you will empower them, Father, with your Holy Spirit. May they bring the lesson that we need to teach. Be with our pastor, Lord, as he preaches this morning. Empower him with your word. And Father, we do pray for these sick people, Lord. Father, we think of Sandy, can't be here. We think of Ron and Joan, it can't be here. Please touch them. Be with Tina Trout with her health issues. Be with Robert, Father, and Phyllis. Strengthen them and touch Robert in a special way. We think of Ray and Sally. We miss them. Please be with Stephanie, Father. Give her the grace and peace that she needs for this upcoming major surgery on Friday. Please keep them safe as they travel to Ohio tomorrow. Be with my brother and his wife, Father, and fill them with peace and grace. And, Father, we think of Larry and Alice that's been out. Father, please touch Alice, Father, and give them strength. Be with Charles and Patsy. We think of Tina Robinette, Father, in Indian Path. Please touch her and bring her to health. It be thy will. We thank you that Richard's surgery went well. Continue to be with him. Be with James's son there in California. Touch him. Be with Kathy and Alan, Father, this surgery that I haven't set yet for this lung transplant. Lord, please be in the midst of that. Pray for Buck's granddaughter. Father, just please, Lord, touch her and bring her back to the fold. We pray for my two daughters, Candy and Charity. Please bring them back to the fold, Father. We love them. We just want them to come back to serving you. And, Father, we just pray and thank you for the power of prayer. Thank you, Father. If we've missed anyone, you know who it is, Father. Just pray that you will touch them. And thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be able to teach your word. And, Father, if there's anyone lost without Christ today, that they'll accept Christ as their personal Savior before it's too late. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. I want to talk about something this morning. It's probably one of my favorite lessons. And I want to talk about the touch of the Master's hand. You know, the touch of the Master's hand, there's not only it's a true story, but there's also a gospel song out about touch the Master's hand. And this song tells of an old violin being auctioned away to a big crowd of people. Now, this is a true story. Keep that in mind. This violin was old and battered and scarred, and the auctioneer didn't expect to get much out of it. So the auctioneer started the bidding. He even started with a dollar. Anybody a dollar? How about two? $2. Nobody moved. It was very quiet in the room. Then suddenly from the back of the room, a gray-haired old man stood up and walked to the front of the stage. He took the bow and he took the violin from the auctioneer. He started tuning up the strings, wiping the dust off, cleaning this old violin with an old cloth, then began to play this violin. As he played it, sweet melody and music filled the room. The crowd was stunned. They were charmed by the beautiful music coming from this old, battered, and scarred violin. When the old gray-haired man was through playing, the auctioneer took the violin and started the bidding again. He started with $1,000, $1,000 going once, twice. He went up to $2,000. And to make a song short, he finally sold the violin for $3,000. But what's amazing about this story and about this song is the message that it has to give. If you remember, the song goes, "And many a man with a life out of tune and battered and scarred with sin. And he is auctioned cheap to a thankless world, much like the old violin. Oh, but the master's hand came in, and the foolish crowd that was there, really, all of them didn't really understand the gospel message." You see, a touch from the master's hand can change a life. We know what it's like if we've been saved and born again. We know what it's like to get a touch from the master's hand. It'll make all the difference in the world. You see, when that touch reaches the heart, then what? That's what our lesson's about today. What a difference it makes in our heart when we get the touch of the master's hand. I want to read two scripture verses. The first one's found in Romans chapter 8. You know, Romans chapter 8 is one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. But for time's sake, we're just going to read three verses. Romans chapter 8, verses 26 through 28. It says, "Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God." And then verse 28, we all love this verse. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose." And I also want to read about five verses over in Matthew chapter 23. I love these verses in Matthew 23. I want to read verses 8 through 12 for time's sake. Matthew 23, 8 through 12, it says, "But be ye called rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. But he that is greatest among you shall be your servant." And then verse number 12 says, "And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted." I want to give you three actions this morning that comes from the heart when we get a touch of the master's hand. The first one is the heart must be humble, deciding to yield to the Holy Spirit. How many people block the Holy Spirit when they're working on our heart? How many people just block him out and go their own way? You see, we have to have humility. We have to understand what Christ did for us on the cross, and we know that the touch of the master's hand is a marvelous work. When he touches us, it makes a difference. It changes our life, and we need to make our heart humble and make that decision to let the Holy Spirit come in, and he'll lead us all the way. The heart must decide to have a lowliness of heart. This is humbleness, meekness, turning from sin, and desiring a changed life. That's the first step. We need to realize that we can't make it on our own, and we have to decide in our heart that the moment we accept Christ, the Holy Spirit enters our heart, and he takes control. We thank God for the master's hand. Humility has been known as that special grace developed in the heart by the Holy Spirit. You see, when the touch of the master's hand comes in, he humbles us and helps us get rid of any pride, anything that is unforgiving. That's what that heart needs to be. And we can stand here, each one of us can stand here and say that the Holy Spirit has made a difference in our life. He leads us, He guides us, He directs us, He helps us make decisions. And from that day that we were saved, the Holy Spirit entered in and our life's never been the same. Humility is always following that special touch from the Master's hand. What a difference it will make in a sinner's life. You know, I think of humility and meekness as a part of our Christian life, and you know, it's a fruit of the Spirit too. But we're going to need that in our heart if we're going to live a life for Christ. And I see a lot of times in men that men sometimes have this proud look, or they have pride in their heart. They want to control everything by themselves. This is never good. Whether it be man, woman, teenager, boy or girl, we need to let the Holy Spirit guide us, and we have to have that humility and that meekness if we're going to serve the Lord. And that, with that Master's hand, He can help us all the way. Look at number two. The second truth that the heart has to have, we have to realize that we can have a changed life and God forgives all sin. We've talked about that a little bit in past Sundays. We have to realize that we can have a changed life with the Master's hand, with that special touch. And we have to realize in our heart that all sin is forgiven. It don't matter how many years back. It don't matter what our sin is. God promised us that He'd cast it out to the deepest sea. He remembers it no more. Why should we? Why should we remember it? God wants to change our life, and He wants us to realize that He can forgive all sin. The Scriptures teaches this. The Scriptures teaches that He'll forgive all sin. When we decide to let the Holy Spirit in and have control of our life, it always creates a wonderful changed life. And from that moment, our heart can then be full of love, compassion, hope. The Holy Spirit does a work in the heart where we can finally realize God forgives us no matter what. Now, I've said this before. I believe our pews are empty today in all kinds of churches because people don't think they could be forgiven from their past sin. I believe there's a lot of people out of church because of that. But if they only understood the Scriptures, God wants to give everybody a new and fresh start. He wants to forgive sin no matter what it is. We can have they can have a changed life. Just like our life was changed when the Master's hand touched us, they can have a changed life. And that Master's touch is a special touch because it'll change anybody's life, no matter what sin, no matter what they've been through, no matter how many years ago it's been. If the lost world could just understand God's forgiveness, I believe we'd have more people in church today. The touch of the Master's hand is a beautiful picture of a changed life. Can you imagine? Just like that old violin that was battered, scarred. That's what the sinful life represents. But just like that old violin got back in tune and played beautiful music, the same can happen in a life. The same thing can happen in a sinner's life. God's forgiveness is so wonderful, He always promises that He'll give us a fresh start. We thank God for that. We thank God for the fresh start. We thank Him for the forgiveness of sins and what He promises in His Word. I could go through Scripture, and we're going to cover a few of those right now. I looked up some of these promises, but there's seven truths about God's forgiveness I want to talk about. And I thought this was a blessing, but I want to give you seven truths that God's forgiveness does. Number one, it blesses us. In Psalms 32:1, it says, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." You see, Christ takes care of that. When we have that new life in Christ, He takes care of that within our heart. He blesses us. Look at number two. God's forgiveness always adopts us into His own family. Boy, we're thrilled to be a part of God's family. And He adopts us into His family. Romans 8:15 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Isn't that something? He'll adopt us into his own family, and he'll forgive us. Look at number three. He always positions us as a co-heir with Christ. Can you imagine? When we're in God's family, he'll position us as a co-heir with Christ. Romans 8:17, the first part of that verse says, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're all one big family. If we've been saved, born again, we fellowship together, we're all one big family. Look at number four. God's forgiveness always counts us as righteous. Romans 3:22, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. God can save anybody. Don't matter their sin, don't matter their age. I've known people to get saved in their 70s and 80s, which is remarkable. And I'll bet you each one of those people will look at us and say, whoa, I wish I'd have done that earlier. Look at number five. God's forgiveness restores your relationship with God. Well, how powerful is that? He always restores fellowship with God, the forgiveness of sins. Romans 5:10 says, for if we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. We're always restored our relationship with God. There's not a better picture that I can see of that lost sinner coming to Christ, telling Christ that they're sorry, they want a new life, they want the Holy Spirit to be a part of their life, they want a touch of the Master's hand to change their life. We've all seen people saved in the past. And I hope that we can continue to see people saved because their relationship with God will surely change. Look at number six. God's forgiveness gives us an inheritance. Boy, I love that word, inheritance. Hebrews 9:15, and for this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. That's another thing God gives us. But when he forgives us of our sins and we accept him as our personal Savior, he'll give us eternal life. The scriptures teaches that. I'm not up here giving you my opinion. I'm giving you the word of God. And look at number seven. God's forgiveness always makes us a citizen of heaven. What about that? We think of the people, our loved ones, our friends that have gone on before us that are with Jesus Christ right now. It's a truth. It tells us in the Bible, all kinds of scriptures talks about eternal life in heaven. But in Philippians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, it says, Jesus Christ shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. If we had the time, we could go to scripture after scripture about eternal life. Now, none of us exactly know what heaven's going to be exactly like. We don't really know until we get there. The people that's gone on before us, if they could tell us, I can tell you this, they wouldn't want to come back. They would never want to come back because they're in the presence of the one they served for all these years in that beautiful place called heaven. And I thank God, and I know everyone here in this auditorium that's been saved and born again, we all can thank God for eternal life. Because when our life is over here on earth, yeah, it's a sad time, but it's also a glorious time. If we've served the Lord and we're saved, born again, we've already, when we take our last breath, our soul is in the presence of Jesus Christ. And we've got that promise that he always gives us. I don't have this written down, but I just thought of a verse I want to read to you if I can find it. It's over in 1 John. I believe it's chapter 5. Yes, 1 John chapter 5, starting with verse number 12. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Folks, we could go to scripture after scripture about heaven and about eternity. We thank God that we have a promise that when our life's over here on earth, that we're going to be in the presence of the one that we serve for so many years. You know, that should excite us. And that's why when we're down here on earth, when we live for Christ, we should give him everything that we have, depend on him. We talked about a couple of weeks ago about that faith that we have in him to guide our life. And we have that promise. It's not hearsay, it's not maybe, but it's a promise from God's word that we can depend on. Look at number three, God's forgiveness. We need to yield to the Holy Spirit and give our life to Christ. You see that crowd that was there that day when the violin was cleaned up, tuned up, sold for $3,000? Wonder how many in that crowd really seen the gospel message on that. Wonder how many seen that it could happen to a person's life. A person's life can become scarred and battered and bruised and needing the Savior. It's a beautiful picture of the Holy Spirit. Now that the heart is humble and you realize God's forgiveness is real, personal, this is a good time to surrender your life to Christ Jesus. Accept his death on the cross. Accept the blood that he sacrificed for each and every one of us. I looked up a definition of surrender. When we surrender to God, we're surrendering everything, every part of our life. It don't matter what it is. It could be our decision making, our life living for him, our every thought, everything. We surrender it to him. And I looked up a Bible definition of surrender. It says to give up possession or control to another, or emptying of self so that God may live inside of every believer. I surrender all. Love that Imitation Song. I surrender all. That's what we have to do with our life. We have to surrender everything that we have to the Lord Jesus. And that part where it says yielding to the Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit's going to guide us every single day of our life when we've been saved and born again. If we tend to do wrong, the Holy Spirit will convict us. If we have a terrible thought in our mind, the Holy Spirit's going to convict us. That's his job. And we can live a life pleasing to the Lord because the Holy Spirit is so powerful in our life. We can fight off any temptation that we have. We have to be careful. We've talked about this several Sundays ago. Satan can come in any time, especially the mind, and he'll try to trick us. He's already tricked thousands. I can tell you people right now in my own family, people I used to work with, Satan has threw them the biggest curve. They used to serve God, but they don't serve him anymore. They think the world is a better plan. They think living for the world is more fun. They think living for the world is the way to go. Well, I hope that we as Christians know that God's not for any of that. He still loves them. He just don't love their actions. He don't love the way they live. And each one of us that have folks that way, don't ever give up. Keep on praying. God knows the situation. And sometimes we might ask ourselves, boy, it's going to take a miracle to bring that person back. You know what? God's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can perform a miracle to bring that life that used to serve him back into the fold. Now, it might take some chastisement. It might take getting them to the bottom of the barrel, so to speak. I don't know God's plan for that. Only he knows that. But whatever he has planned for those people, he'll bring them back in his own timing. We all have people like that. In our minds, we can think of family. We can think of friends. We can think of people that we used to work with, or maybe neighbors that now are living for the world. It's a sad picture. I believe our pews would be filled today if people just realized what forgiveness really was. If they could realize in their heart that God can forgive them no matter what lifestyle they've lived, don't matter what sin they've committed. If they're sincere and sorry and they want God to change their life, the Holy Spirit will change their life. They can accept Christ as Savior. I seen something the other day. I don't remember if it was on TV or on my phone, but a church was open. I don't know if this was in Texas or where. I don't remember. But when people come into a church, it doesn't matter what they're dressed like. That could be the only place that they hear the gospel. It could be the only place that they hear about Christ. They could have long hair. We still have to invite them in. We have to let them know that we care about souls, but this church was a little bit different. I don't know if they were so righteous that they wouldn't accept this young man in, but that's the wrong attitude. When people walk into our church or any church, we have to accept them because we know that, hey, now's a chance that God can change their life. They can hear a Sunday school message, or they can hear the gospel. They can hear the Word of God. Who knows how many years it's been since lost people's heard the Word of God. We have to accept them and know that God is the only one that can change them. There's a verse here. This will be the last verse that I read. It's found in Galatians. I don't know how many years I've had this verse marked, but it's one of my favorite verses. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 20. This is Paul speaking. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Isn't that something? You know what Paul's saying right there? When you're crucified with Christ, the Holy Spirit's guiding us every step of the way. If we're crucified with Christ on the inside, we're living a life pleasing to the Lord. We're crucified to Him. We want to live for Him. He died for us. Sure, we want to live for Him. But that Christ that liveth in us wants us to have not only life here on earth, but that eternal life. And I believe that that verse could be a lot of people's favorite verse. It could be their go-to verse. But you see, we can never live a life of purpose. We couldn't live a life of success without Christ being on the inside. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about when we were lost and undone, we didn't have Christ on the inside, we were not crucified with Christ? Did we ever think about, boy, my soul's in trouble? That's what God wants unsaved people to feel like. He wants unsaved people to feel like that, hey, you need something in your life different than this old world. You need something different to change you. Just like that old violin was changed, that scattered and battered violin that was cleaned up and tuned up, that brought beautiful music in that room, our life can do the same. Yeah, we're going to face challenges, and we're going to face heartache. We're going to face tragedies. It's a part of life. But how would we face them without God? How would we face them without Christ in our heart, the Holy Spirit leading us? Yeah, we go through times where, sad times, we go through maybe discouraging times, disappointing times. We know we're going to go through those times, but we got Christ on our side. And we surely have the Word of God that's on our side. I don't know what we all turned to when we were lost and undone. It could have been the wrong things of this earth. But now that we're saved and born again, we can go to the Scriptures anytime. I hope each one of us has Scriptures in our heart that you could quote from memory. That's what's going to get us through. This old world's not going to get much better. We know we can go to verses in Ezekiel, Revelation, tells us about the times. The times are getting worse and worse. We know that. We can look at our nation as a whole. And people are not taking serious about living for God. They're not taking it serious. Oh, they mention God sometimes when they're in a trial, but they don't live for Him. Our world is becoming chaotic, evil, ruthless. As a nation, God wants His people to come to Him. Now, we can't control everybody in the world, and we can't control the nation, but we can control our own life and be a blessing to people around us. That's what He wants us to do. If we've been changed by the Holy Spirit, I believe people's going to notice. No, we're not perfect, and we'll never be perfect. But we can live a life, have a desire to please Him, and let people know how He's changed their life, how the Holy Spirit can guide and lead us. You see, a lost person don't have the Holy Spirit to lead and guide them. They have to do it on their own. And sometimes that's dangerous. So we thank God for salvation, that we have the Holy Spirit that can lead and guide and direct us. We can also learn from the Scripture, as we've already talked about, God's forgiveness is so powerful and so real. We can write down, I bet you each one of us could write down 9 or 10 verses about God's forgiveness. And we'd love to get them in the hands of people that would take it so they could understand God's forgiveness. I don't know why, but that's been on my heart for a few days as far as that forgiveness. So many people don't realize that no matter what they're going through or what they've been through in the past, God can forgive. But you have to accept Him. You have to accept His word. We can't go by what the world goes by. Mm-mm. We can't do it. Just like the old battered, scarred violin, a sinner's heart can be cleaned, back in tune with God, and start a new life for the Lord. Isn't that something? We can look at our own life before we were saved. Our life was scarred, battered, without Christ. What a difference He does make. And I believe in 2024, it's challenging to get lost people in the church. I realize that. It's very challenging. That's why we have these Saturdays for reaching out in the community. The men go and they just distribute all this literature about our church and about the gospel. That's why we want to do it. We want to let people know what this church stands for and how we can reach out to them. We want to let them know how their life can be cleaned up and God can forgive them no matter what. I thank God for the true story and the song. There's several gospel artists that have come out with that song, A Touch of the Master's Hand. And it has a beautiful message. If you've got an iPhone, you ought to listen to it. All right. That concludes our Sunday school lesson.